Welcome to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And there is so much going on. It's exciting, right? It's so exciting. Joining us first, right off the top, Rohan Preston, lead theater critic at the Star Tribune. How you doing, my friend?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. My goodness, I had such a good time looking you up in all of the articles you've been writing lately. And the Circus Abyssinia, is that correct?
Circus Abyssinia at Children's Theater, yes.
Right, I'm going to go to that. I got my tickets finally. And it you said that it dazzles with artistry, grace, and defying feats. Tell me more.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They were here back in 2019 with a show about Ethiopian dreams. It's a circus that really is brand new. This is only their second show, and they brought it here. It's Tulu, and it's a celebration of an Ethiopian Olympic runner who, when she won gold in 1992, she inspired her nation, and people were up the next morning at 4 a.m., according to the creators of the show, 4 a.m., millions of people were up running and jogging the next morning because they were so inspired by her. But this circus, Abyssinia, is interesting because it's brand new and they're building their rep and building their repertoire as well and their skill set, and they have a lot of death-defying feats. I went with my wife. We had no children and with us at the Children's Theater, and we thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And there are a couple of moments when you held your breath.
Wow. So would you say it would be okay for someone that's 10 years old?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. Because I think it's in all ages.
It is. And it comes with a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek warning, because your 10-year-old and your 5-year-old, they're all going to try that at home.
Oh, no. Please tell me that's not true. Oh, my gosh.
I know. And adults want to try too, because, you know, they're acrobats. There are, you know, fire jugglers. There are contortionists. And by the way, the contortionists don't look, you know, they're not slender, so they look like super athletes. They're regular people just without bones. I mean, they are they're pretty amazing. And so that's part of the joy of this show. But the brothers who founded this circus, they are from Ethiopia, and they're like, there's no example of this in Africa for us, and so we're going to try to do something. And I asked them, what was it like to go to your parents and say, we want to be in the circus? And they smiled and said, the parents said, stay in school.
Amen. Amen. It is quite remarkable. You know, parents have done interesting things over the years when it comes to their children when they're either about to leave school or they're entering school. The parents have to decide, do I want to be a hockey mom? No. So don't tell your child about hockey at all. That was me. Honestly, I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's the truth. I would not tell them about hockey because I didn't want to be a hockey mom. I knew a few of them and they were always exhausted. I didn't want that to be my life. So you're absolutely right about the things that children choose to do in their lives. And you're right. I'm sure a lot of them are going to go home and try all of as much as they can, especially if you can bend yourself like that, then great. But if you can't, please leave it alone. You could really be injured from that. So
absolutely. But, you know, I mean, we were coming out of this theater and literally kids were bouncing up and down, trying all this stuff. And so even if they didn't have warnings, even if they did have warnings on it, I don't think those warnings would be heeded at all. And one of the things too, which is what happens, and you know this well, when people do something well, it looks easy.
Right. And that means they are experts. There you go.
Yeah. Right. Except some of us misconstrue that as like, oh, we can do that. We can
it's
do
not
it.
Me, though, dear. Yeah. It's not me. I can promise you I'm never going to say Geraldine can do that, put her legs up over her head and place her feet on the ground. It's never going to happen. I'll be walking through the rest of my life like that. Nope. Certain people are meant to do it. I'm not one.
And the show itself actually is interesting because it does show the life of this runner. Tulu is her last name. And how she grew up, you know, like almost in the highlands in a herding community. And when she runs away, this is without words. It's just through skits and scenes and acrobatics. But she runs away from hyenas.
Wow.
And when the contortionists come out, they come out looking like a creature that's weird and you can't understand it. And then they, you know, so that, and they're stripes, their costumes are stripes. So they could be hyenas. Later on, they transform into like sea creatures together. There are some acrobats. Oh, you're going to, when are you seeing the show, Geraldine?
I'm not going to tell that.
Okay.
Because it's a surprise for someone.
There's some acrobats in it. And there's one young man who is a Greek god. I mean, he's built like a Greek god and he's so strong and he does the ropes. He does the handstand, one hand and just like, and he is, you know, it's like, anyway, he's a picture book, so I'm sure you're going to be sitting very close to the stage. And you want to be sitting very close to the stage for that one.
You are something else, Rohan. No, I'm actually sitting near the back. I am. Because I don't know how the person I'm bringing is going to respond to it.
There are no bad seats. And it's small. And I was reminded, though, as I watched this show, that Cirque du Soleil began as a small thing that built its act and its reputation over many decades. And I felt really excited seeing the second show by this company. And I'm proud of the theater, the Children's Theater, for presenting it, because I think in the future we'll be seeing more of them, and they'll grow really, really big, you know?
I hope so. They're really doing some great work and children just love it. I've taken my nieces with me to go see a show at, what are the two guys that play these roles as, you know, I think it was Cinderella. Yeah, the show was Cinderella. Remember there was a black girl who was the Cinderella? I was so excited. Yeah. This was a few years back. I was so excited about it. And, I was going to take them on a second time. And the first time I couldn't do it because she was sick and she couldn't come out and do the piece. So, it was really sad. So I'm really excited about Tulu and to know that it's going to be as good as you say it is. Now, is there anything else that you would suggest for parents with children that, you know, because a lot of parents want to bring their children to theater and sometimes it's a little questionable.
So there's another show called A Different Pond. And that opened
this
weekend also at Stages Theater in Hopkins. And it's an adaptation of a Bao Phi book. And it's about a Vietnamese refugee and his father who goes fishing with his father. So a little boy goes fishing with his father. And they fish for sport, but also fish for food. And it's a beautiful, beautiful children's book. I haven't seen the stage adaptation, but it has a lot of credible artists there. So that is another show to see and to recommend, you know?
Right, exactly. And I wanted to find out, what did you had mentioned in one of your articles in September that the renovated Capri Theater remains a cultural hub of North Minneapolis. Did it ever not?
Well, I mean, it's even better now,
right.
Because
sure
the facility is first rate. It's world class. The show that they had initially planned there didn't for the fall. Ain't Misbehaving was postponed until next year, and so there are a number of things that they're doing now, concerts and whatnot. But those are I recommend those. And I it's a beautiful facility. I love going to shows there.
It is beautiful. It is. You know? I just love it. Yeah. So I hope to see you there sometime. And I wish we had more time, Rohan, but we've run out of time. I just want you to know I love reading your articles. Huh?
Well, thank you. And I loved your interview with the opera composer and singer
Paolo Pastini, I think it is. She's beautiful inside and out. So I'm looking forward. Are you going to that piece, by the way? Are you going
to
go see Edward Tulane?
I do hope to see it. This weekend, the Guthrie is doing a world premiere as well. So we have the opera having its world premiere, and also the Guthrie is doing a world premiere of Susan Laurie Parks' play, Sally and Tom, and it's about Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson. That is going to be interesting.
Wow.
So we could talk about that next week, but this is wonderful.
I'm looking forward to it. Love you, dude. You take care of yourself
I will. Thank you.
All right. That's our own lead theater critic from the Star Tribune. His name is Rohan Preston. You can even get all of his articles. All you have to do is look him up at startribune.com/Rohan Preston. Again, that's startribune.com/Rohan Preston. We'll be back with our next guest, Gary Lennon. Don't know who he is? Just wait till you hear. How the time is flying. Oh, it is now 9:24. In fact, Gary Lennon, we hope, will be joining us in just a moment to talk about Once Upon a Mattress. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He is a professional director and costume designer who recently located from Los Angeles. He recently designed Macbeth for Independent Shakespeare Company in Los Angeles, as well as Metamorphosis, which is one of my favorite books. I'm so excited to have him join us tonight. So welcome to Gary Lennon. How are you, Gary?
Hi there. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I was really excited to interview you tonight. I'm glad you could join us. Okay, so Once Upon a Mattress. Tell me why this particular piece.
That's a good question. The piece was chosen for Old Log before I was hired. So I think they wanted to just explore this piece. I think it was a project that's been talked about for a number of years at Old Log, and they just decided to bring it out. I came on after the piece had been selected. So.
Okay, there you go. Well, it's a musical comedy, we know, a parody, revealing the backstories absent from Hans Christian Andersen's beloved fairy tales. In saying that alone, I get a headache because I know how many times people have tried to, walk into this endeavor. Tell me how you feel about it and what changes you may be making.
I've always known the piece for a very long time, and a big fan, of course, of the Carol Burnett Show growing up, and that kind of broad satire is kind of very much in my wheelhouse. But what struck me reading the play is that it's very old. You know, things that were funny in 1959 maybe are not
right.
So funny anymore.
That's not so old. Come on, that's not so old.
Not so old, no. But in some ways, it's. So we just kind of tried to keep looking at it with just a kind of a modern lens to it, and kind of trying to find the humor that is really there. And the material is really rich and very, very funny and very, irreverent and goofy and silly, and trying to embrace that and then maybe kind of sand off some of the things that are not as politically correct or as funny in 2022. So that was our big challenge. And also trying to, step into Carol Burnett, right? This is the part that made Carol Burnett into a star. So how do you approach a show centered around, a personality and make it your own? It's similar to, I guess Funny Girl on Broadway, right? With Barbara Streisand and the whole controversy and all
favorites.
That's happening.
yeah,
but how do you do that part without imitating, Barbara Streisand, right? So how do you make it your own? So I think that was a kind of driving it for us, was trying to figure out what's funny, what is funny about the material, and how can we make it our own, essentially.
Exactly. So many people have tried to redo or rewrite the Hans Christian Andersen fairy tales and turn it into something completely different. Have you guys kept it where those that are older can come and say, I know this piece, or are you really making some big changes for the younger ones?
Oh, I think it's pretty, I think anybody who knows the piece it's still very recognizable as that piece. And I think, you know, memory and nostalgia is a wonderful thing, that we forget some of the things that are not maybe that we're not would not play as funny today. One of the big things, I'll just say it, is that, you know, the king is mute. He's been cursed by a witch, and he chases wenches through the entire show, which in 1959, again, maybe that was funnier than it is today. Today it doesn't quite ring the same way. So we had to find a way to keep the intention of that, right, and keep the king needed the activity, but what could he be chasing, and how could we make that still work and not, you know, not be sexist and inappropriate.
Right. You know, the nuances that we try in theater, they often work and often do not work. You know, whether it's the new technology we're trying to introduce into an old piece. You know, yes. There's so many things we try to do that don't necessarily work. Have you experienced that in your own way?
Yeah, I mean, well, in this show in particular, there was a couple of things that we tried that, you know, when we talked about in rehearsal and talked about with the designers, it sounded like a great idea. It sounded really funny, you know. And then the scene shop was very indulgent. They built me, or they rigged up a mock-up of a piece of scenery, and we tested it out. And within the first, you know, minute of trying it out, I'm like, well, that was a nice idea, but it really does not work. You know, but humble, yeah, theater makes you humble, right? You know, like you have to.
Yeah, whether you want it or not, darling, humbling is coming. Humbling is coming. I wish we had more time to talk with you tonight, because you are really quite accomplished in your bio and so much more. But Gary Lennon, I'm thrilled that you are director of Once Upon a Mattress, even though I don't know as much about your work. I'm looking forward to hearing about it and trying to get out there to see it. Of course, it is already open. Tickets are available for $30 to $40. All you have to do is go to oldlog.com. Again, that's oldlog.com. Or you can call the box office at 952-474-5951. And of course, did you move here by any chance, Gary? Or are you just here to direct?
Just moved here. No, just moved here.
Welcome.
August, about a little over a month. So, yeah.
Welcome. So, just enjoy it. It's a lot.
It's been beautiful so far.
It really is. I hope you continue. And don't run. Don't run when we're to come. Don't do it. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Stay the course. Thank you, Gary. Take care. And again, that was Gary Lennon, director of Once Upon a Mattress. And if you want more information, tickets are between $30 and $40, available at oldlog.com, or you can call the box office, 952-474-5951. All right. We're going to take a break and come back with our next guest in just a moment. Welcome, everyone, back to Center Stage. I'm excited to introduce you to our next guest. Well, you know, the tickets for the upcoming Twin Cities Film Fest just went on sale yesterday. And today I'm joined by the organizers, Executive Director Jayton Satia. And he's here to tell us how you can see some of this year's most anticipated films before anyone else. Welcome, Jayton. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. Tell us about the ways people can enjoy the Twin Cities Film Festival this year, especially people who really don't know that much about the Twin Cities Festival.
Oh, sure. We are a major mainstream American independent festival, much like a Sundance and Tribeca. This is our 13th year, our biggest year yet. We'll have 140 films over 10 days, premieres from studio premieres for films that eventually will go on to get nominated for Oscars. We have American independent films from across the country that have been winning awards. We have about a third of our films have a Minnesota connection, so we certainly want to give our Minnesota creators a spotlight. Short films, feature films, narratives, documentaries, you name it, we got it. And it's in the theater and online. We're hybrid. We built our own streaming platform, so you have no excuse not to watch some amazing films.
You know, it's quite remarkable what you guys do, and you do it. It seems like there's not enough time, but there's always enough time. Each year you're doing this, correct?
Correct. So this is our 13th year. We're actually a year-round organization. We are at the Shops at West End at the Icon Theaters And we're doing monthly events, monthly screenings, talkback sessions with actors. We had Will Steger. We had Jeffrey Hatcher in our office just doing a talkback sessions as we led up to the festival this year. We've been doing this for 13 years. You know, I started this organization after I got laid off from corporate America back in 2008. And I'd always had a passion for film, and I kind of dove right in. And, you know, you find the right people around you that support you, especially your family and your friends, and you just go forward. And we've grown ever since. And we're one of the most notable festivals in the North now.
Yes, you are. In fact, every year we have a social justice cause that you focus on called our Change Maker Series. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so ever since year one, we've kind of wanted to focus on topics that are relevant and important, and there's so many amazing topics. So we actually have a rotating series, which is called Changemaker Series. We've done topics such as education, bullying in our school system, veteran support, sex trafficking. We did animal humanity one year, how animals are just a core part of our humanity. And this year we're actually focusing on climate action, food, and fashion, how climate change is directly affected by the food we eat and then the fashion we wear. So we're actually going to open our festival with a film called Overheated, which actually spotlights climate action and climate change. It's actually produced by Billie Eilish, the Grammy Award winning singer. Obviously, everybody knows about Billie, but right. Billie's mother actually is going to be in attendance. Billie's mother is Maggie Baird. Maggie started a nonprofit called Support and Feed, all about food insecurity, and as well as using plant-based meal in your normal diet. So Maggie's actually going to be in attendance for our opening presentation.
Oh, that is fantastic. Wow, this is fantastic. So tell me more about how many African-Americans have posted or sent in their films, and how long does this process take?
Yeah, so we launched our Empower series 2 years ago, which was kind of raising BIPOC voices, and pleasantly, we've been getting amazing films from our Black creators. So I'm actually partnering with the Black Business Enterprises here locally, which is an amazing nonprofit raising awareness for and supporting Black entrepreneurs. And we're actually launching our Black on Screen series, and our very first film this year for that film series is going to be Till. The story of Emmett Till. And it's actually a story of Mammy Till, his mother, who basically used the power of her voice, essentially, honestly, to raise awareness for injustice. And I grew up in Mississippi, and Emmett Till's name is synonymous with justice, especially Mammy Till's. So our opening night film, which is our inaugural Black on Screen series film, is going to be Till. And actually, we're going to be honoring Deborah Watts and Terry Watts from the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. Yeah, and I don't know if people know, but Deborah is actually cousin of Emmett Till. She was a toddler when Emmett was lynched at the age of 14. So we're actually honoring Deborah and Terry on our opening night, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
It's amazing. You have so much for us to talk about, and we don't have as much time. But I have to ask you about She Said, which is a film about the two reporters who broke the story that helped propel the whole Me Too movement. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this film is... like you said, it's about the two reporters who took the power of, again, journalism to break the story about what was happening with in Hollywood, specifically with Harvey Weinstein. And what these two reporters did was, you know, nothing short of a miracle, getting all these women to come on record at the same time. When they knew that if they went on record with this powerful person in the industry that they're in, it could easily just, you know, basically put them under as far as a career. But these women did their civil duty for everybody else out there in the world. And there's obviously, unfortunately, there's many more Harvey Weinsteins that were and they still are. So She Said it's going to be up there for Best Picture, and we're going to be having the premiere of that here in the North. So I'm super excited about that film. We have Till, we have Armageddon Time, we have about 13 studio films that we're going to be premiering as well.
Yeah, so film festivals usually land in certain theaters. And how many theaters do we have engaged in presenting these pieces?
So we are at the Icon Theaters. We have three screens at the Icon Theaters going 10 days strong from 10 a.m. until midnight. We're streaming as well. And my job as an executive director is to create a safe space and present the most professional event that possibly can. We have our festival lounge, which is open every single night for people to just kind of hang out, chill, and have a conversation. And about 70% of our films will have a representative from the film there. So filmmakers or actors are actually going to be flying in from all across the country. And this is where, this is how, you know, it's different. Going to a film is different than going to a film festival. You get to be with your community. You get to watch amazing documentaries. You get to watch amazing independent films. I mean, trust me, we have some horror movies because it's October, because why not, right? We have some romantic comedies. We have some thrillers. You know, one of the films that we're going to be showcasing this year for free for the community is called Kaepernick and America, and we're going to have a conversation after that as well. So there's literally something for everybody, and I encourage everyone to at least watch one movie, because that's all I care about is you come and take in one film, and ideally we convert you, and you're going to keep coming back.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Justin. Seriously, it's a big deal what you guys are doing. And I hope to hear more about what you're doing next year as well. I want to let everyone know. So thank you for joining us. I want to let everyone know that this happens on October 20th through the 29th. October 20th through the 29th, they're going to open with Till, so you don't want to miss that. You can go to their website at TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome. You are listening to Still Talking, and this is Center Stage. This is our last guest tonight for this hour, the Lake Wobegon Brass Band. I've never heard of them. I was so excited to find out more. And of course, in 1991, the North American Brass Band Association, they were part of a contest, the national contest in Iowa, and then they returned and they found themselves a conductor and music director, and it has been happening ever since. It's really quite remarkable. Joining us to talk about what they're doing these days is Mike Halstenson, and he joins us right here on WCCO. How are you, sir?
Hi, Geraldine. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm glad to have you on. You know, I've been reading about you guys just about all day, it feels like, you know, that you had a chance to meet Garrison Keillor when you decided to call it the Lake Wobegon Brass Band.
Yeah.
And he gave you guys permission to do it. And you have just been traveling all over the place. I'm really quite surprised that I didn't know about you. Do you ever feel like people just don't know about you, or am I just the only one?
Oh, no, you're not the only one. Actually, that's very common for us. You know, the brass band is not a common group type in the U.S., actually. It's very, very different. It's very, very common in England, but in the U.S., there are not a lot of brass bands. And so you know, getting the word out and getting people to know about us is a difficult thing.
Yeah, you guys have been touring for a while. In fact, you were in the United Kingdom twice. There was a pilgrimage tour to England and Wales in 2001. You returned to the UK in July of 2005. I mean, it's just quite remarkable, as well as all the CDs that you have presented as well. But I remember reading that I think it was July 2001, there was a performance tour to England and Wales with presentation to the Queen Mother and Charles, who was Prince of Wales at the time. And now that Queen Elizabeth II has left us, it's King Charles that you have to, you can say that you actually play for, you know, now the King Charles III.
I know. It's kind of exciting to think about that. Yes, we were over at that time, and then we played for the Queen Mother. She had a flower show every summer, and her and Prince Charles at the time were there, and one of our guys got to meet them, and we were all standing within, you know, 10 feet of them or so, and getting pictures like crazy. It was really fun.
It's really great to learn about what. Welcome, everyone, back to Center Stage. I'm excited to introduce you to our next guest. Well, you know, the tickets for the upcoming Twin Cities Film Fest just went on sale yesterday. And today I'm joined by the organizer's executive director, Jayton Satia. And he's here to tell us how you can see some of this year's most anticipated films before anyone else. Welcome, Jayton. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. Tell us about the ways people can enjoy the Twin Cities Film Festival this year, especially people who really don't know that much about the Twin Cities Festival.
Oh, sure. We are a major mainstream American independent festival, much like a Sundance and Tribeca. This is our 13th year, our biggest year yet. We'll have 140 films over 10 days, premieres from studio premieres for films that eventually will go on to get nominated for Oscars. We have American independent films from across the country that have been winning awards. We have about a third of our films have a Minnesota connection, so we certainly want to give our Minnesota creators a spotlight. Short films, feature films, narratives, documentaries, you name it, we got it. And it's in the theater and online. We're hybrid. We built our own streaming platform, so you have no excuse not to watch some amazing films.
You know, it's quite remarkable what you guys do, and you do it. It seems like there's not enough time, but there's always enough time. Each year you're doing this, correct?
Correct. So this is our 13th year. We're actually a year-round organization. We are at the Shops at West End at the Icon Theaters, and we're doing monthly events, monthly screenings, talk-back sessions with actors. We had Will Steger. We had Jeffrey Hatcher in our office just doing a talk-back sessions as we led up to the festival this year. We've been doing this for 13 years. You know, I started this organization after I got laid off from corporate America back in 2008, and I'd always had a passion for film, and I kind of dove right in, and you know, you find the right people around you that support you, especially your family and your friends, and you just go forward. And we've grown ever since, and we're one of the most notable festivals in the North now.
Yes, you are. In fact, every year we have a social justice cause that you focus on called our Change Maker series. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so ever since year one, we've kind of wanted to focus on topics that are relevant and important, and there's so many amazing topics. So we actually have a rotating series, which is called Changemaker Series. We've done topics such as education, bullying in our school system, veteran support, sex trafficking. We did animal humanity one year, how animals are just a core part of our humanity. And this year, we're actually focusing on climate action, food, and fashion, how climate change is directly affected by the food we eat and then the fashion we wear. So we're actually going to open our festival with a film called Overheated, which actually spotlights climate action and climate change. It's actually produced by Billie Eilish, the Grammy Award-winning singer. Obviously, everybody knows about Billie, but right. Billie's mother actually is going to be in attendance. Billie's mother is Maggie Baird. Maggie started a nonprofit called Support and Feed, all about food insecurity, and as well as using plant-based meal in your normal diet. So Maggie's actually going to be in attendance for our opening presentation.
Oh, that is fantastic. Wow, this is fantastic. So tell me more about how many African-Americans have posted or sent in their films, and how long does this process take?
Yeah, so we launched our Empower series 2 years ago, which was kind of raising BIPOC voices, and pleasantly, we've been getting amazing films from our Black creators. So I'm actually partnering with the Black Business Enterprises here locally, which is an amazing nonprofit raising awareness for and supporting Black entrepreneurs. And we're actually launching our Black on Screen series, and our very first film this year for that film series is going to be Till. The story of Emmett Till. And it's actually a story of Mammy Till, his mother, who basically used the power of her voice, essentially, honestly, to raise awareness for injustice. And I grew up in Mississippi, and Emmett Till's name is synonymous with justice, especially Mammy Till's. So our opening night film, which is our inaugural Black on Screen series film, is going to be Till. And actually, we're going to be honoring Deborah Watts and Terry Watts from the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. Yeah, and I don't know if people know, but Deborah is actually cousin of Emmett Till. She was a toddler when Emmett was lynched at the age of 14. So we're actually honoring Deborah and Terry on our opening night, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
It's amazing. You have so much for us to talk about, and we don't have as much time. But I have to ask you about She Said, which is a film about the two reporters who broke the story that helped propel the whole Me Too movement. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this film is, like you said, it's about the two reporters who took the power of, again, journalism to break the story about what was happening with in Hollywood, specifically with Harvey Weinstein. And what these two reporters did was, you know, nothing short of a miracle, getting all these women to come on record at the same time when they knew that if they went on record with this powerful person in the industry that they're in, it could easily just, you know, basically put them under as far as a career. But these women did their civil duty for everybody else out there in the world. And there's obviously, unfortunately, there's many more Harvey Weinsteins that were and they still are. So She Said it's going to be up there for Best Picture, and we're going to be having the premiere of that here in the North. So I'm super excited about that film. We have Till, we have Armageddon Time, we have about 13 studio films that we're going to be premiering as well.
Yeah, so film festivals usually land in certain theaters. And how many theaters do we have engaged in presenting these pieces?
So we are at the Icon Theaters. We have three screens at the Icon Theaters going 10 days strong from 10 a.m. till midnight. We're streaming as well. And my job as an executive director is to create a safe space and present the most professional event that possibly can. We have our festival lounge, which is open every single night for people to just kind of hang out, chill, and have a conversation. And about 70% of our films will have a representative from the film there. So filmmakers or actors are actually going to be flying in from all across the country. And this is how, you know, it's different. Going to a film is different than going to a film festival. You get to be with your community. You get to watch amazing documentaries. You get to watch amazing independent films. I mean, trust me, we have some horror movies because it's October, because why not, right? We have some romantic comedies. We have some thrillers. You know, one of the films that we're going to be showcasing this year for free for the community is called Kaepernick and America, and we're going to have a conversation after that as well. So there's literally something for everybody, and I encourage everyone to at least watch one movie, because that's all I care about is you come and take in one film, and ideally we convert you, and you're going to keep coming back.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Justin. Seriously, it's a big deal what you guys are doing. And I hope to hear more about what you're doing next year as well. I want to let everyone know. So thank you for joining us. I want to let everyone know that this happens on October 20th through the 29th. October 20th through the 29th, they're going to open with Till, so you don't want to miss that. You can go to their website at TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome. You are listening to Steel Talking, and this is Center Stage. This is our last guest tonight for this hour, the Lake Wobegon Brass Band. I've never heard of them. I was so excited to find out more. And of course, in 1991, the North American Brass Band Association, they were part of a contest, the national contest in Iowa, and then they returned and they found themselves a conductor and music director, and it has been happening ever since. It's really quite remarkable. Joining us to talk about what they're doing these days is Mike Halstenson, and he joins us right here on WCCO. How are you, sir?
Hi, Geraldine. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm glad to have you on. You know, I've been reading about you guys just about all day, it feels like, you know, that you had a chance to meet Garrison Keillor when you decided to call it the Lake Wobegon Brass Band.
Yeah.
And he gave you guys permission to do it. And you have just been traveling all over the place. I'm really quite surprised that I didn't know about you. Do you ever feel like people just don't know about you, or am I just the only one?
Oh, no, you're not the only one. Actually, that's very common for us. You know, the brass band is not a common group type in the U.S., actually. It's very, very different. It's very
very common in England, but in the U.S. there are not a lot of brass bands. And so you know, getting the word out and getting people to know about us is a difficult thing.
Yeah, you guys have been touring for a while. In fact, you were in the United Kingdom twice. There was a pilgrimage tour to England and Wales in 2001. You returned to the UK in July of 2005. I mean, it's just quite remarkable, as well as all the CDs that you have presented as well. But I remember reading that I think it was July 2001, there was a performance tour to England and Wales with presentation to the Queen Mother and Charles, who was Prince of Wales at the time. And now that Queen Elizabeth II has left us, it's King Charles that you have to, you can say that you actually play for, you know, now the King Charles III.
I know. It's kind of exciting to think about that. Yes, We were over at that time, and then we played for the Queen Mother. She had a flower show every summer, and her and Prince Charles at the time were there, and one of our guys got to meet them, and we were all standing within, you know, 10 feet of them or so, and getting pictures like crazy. It was really fun.
It's really great to learn about what you're doing and how many shows you're doing. You guys have a really busy schedule. Tell us about it.
Well, yes, you know, we try to play throughout the year three or four different concert series, and every time we do a series, we play usually three concerts on a weekend, like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type thing, which is
right.
What's coming up here this next weekend.
And that's happening on October 7th at the Sutton Hall at Hamline University on October 7th. October 8th, it's at Zion Lutheran Church in Anoka. Also, Sunday, October 9th at Matamidi High School in Matamidi, Minnesota. And, of course, you have the times for two of them. Have you guys decided on the time for the October 7th concert at Hamline?
Yeah, that's it. They're at 7:30. Friday and Saturday nights are at 7:30. And then the Sunday concert is at 4 in Matamidi.
And tell me a little bit about your holiday concerts coming up in December.
Oh, we love our holiday concerts. We do three different venues, and it's just so festive. It's so wonderful. Of course, brass and percussion, nothing could be better than the holidays with that. And it's just a really festive evening.
Well, I listened to about 11 of your pieces of songs that you had on your website, and I really enjoyed some of them. Really, really enjoyed them. When can we expect you to come someplace close by in the Twin Cities so that we can get a little taste of it? I know you're going to be out in Edina for the holiday concerts, but I'm just curious to know, what's the closest to us here in the Twin Cities?
Well, that probably is about the closest for that concert. The Friday night is in Edina. The Sunday is in Coon Rapids at Anoka Ramsey Community College, but then the Saturday concert is out in Albany, so that's as close as we're going to get to you for that concert.
Well, I tell you, guys are doing great things. What is the thing that you haven't done that you hope you will do before you leave this world?
Oh my goodness. There are so many things, I suppose. You know,
what
it would
concert
be so
in what city, you know?
Well, you know, maybe the ultimate for me personally would be to perform a concert with the brass band at Orchestra Hall. I think that would be really fun.
Oh, of course it would. Absolutely,
yeah,
it would be fun. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
You've been a conductor now for how many years with this group?
Oh, I think it's been 20 years for me now with this group.
Oh, my goodness.
We're celebrating our 30th. Season, and I think I've been with them for 20 of those. So
that's amazing. Congratulations to you on that. That's a big deal.
You.
It's like you ought to have an award or a reward or something for that. Mike Halsenston, thank you so much for joining us. He's with the Lake Wobegon Brass Band's conductor for 20 years. Amazing. I'm still smiling from the music I heard from you guys, so keep doing it until you can't.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and we hope that people will come and hear us.
It's a pleasure. You take care. If people want more information, what is your website again?
It's LWBB, the Lake Wobegon Brass Band, LWBB.org.
All right, that's easy enough. Thank you so much, Mike, and you take care of yourself.
Thanks, Geraldine.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, those are all of the guests that we have that we've been talking about tonight on Center Stage, and I've had a good time talking to them. I hope you've had a good time learning about them. Again, I want to mention that I will have a show at Crooners in the main room. I believe the show begins at 8:30 p.m. on October 22nd. It's called The Pianist Knows Best, where the piano player has a chance to boss me, tell me what I'm going to sing, what keys I'm going to sing it in, and they are in complete control. And it usually is the opposite, where the singer tells the piano player what to play, but not this time. I did three of these in 2019, and I do hope you'll come out. If you're interested, come out and look up croonersmn.com. croonersmn.com. Just scroll down to October 22nd, and you'll see me there. Hopefully, you'll be in the audience. I can't wait to see you. It's been a pleasure doing these 3 hours, and now coming up is usually the Mom and Michael Hour, but Michael is not able to come tonight, and so Jonathan and I will have a good time, and we hope you'll stick and stay with us. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome. You are listening to Steel Talking, and this is Center Stage. This is our last guest tonight for this hour, the Lake Wobegon Brass Band. I've never heard of them. I was so excited to find out more. And of course, in 1991, the North American Brass Band Association, they were part of a contest, the national contest in Iowa, and then they returned and they found themselves a conductor and music director, and it has been happening ever since. It's really quite remarkable. Joining us to talk about what they're doing these days is Mike Halstenson, and he joins us right here on WCCO. How are you, sir?
Hi, Geraldine. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm glad to have you on. You know, I've been reading about you guys just about all day, it feels like, you know, that you had a chance to meet Garrison Keillor when you decided to call it the Lake Wobegon Brass Band.
Yeah.
And he gave you guys permission to do it. And you have just been traveling all over the place. I'm really quite surprised that I didn't know about you. Do you ever feel like people just don't know about you, or am I just the only one?
Oh, no, no, you're not the only one. Actually, that's very common for us. You know, the brass band is not a common group type in the U.S., actually. It's very, very different. It's very, very common in England, but in the U.S., there are not a lot of brass bands. And so you know, getting the word out and getting people to know about us is a difficult thing.
Yeah, you guys have been touring for a while. In fact, you were in the United Kingdom twice. There was a pilgrimage tour to England and Wales in 2001. You returned to the UK in July of 2005. I mean, it's just quite remarkable, as well as all the CDs that you have presented as well. But I remember reading that I think it was July 2001, there was a performance tour to England and Wales with presentation to the Queen Mother and Charles, who was Prince of Wales at the time. And now that Queen Elizabeth II has left us, it's King Charles that you have to, you can say that you actually play for, you know, now the King Charles III.
I know. It's kind of exciting to think about that. Yes, we were over at that time, and then we played for the Queen Mother. She had a flower show every summer, and her and Prince Charles at the time were there,
right.
and one of our guys got to meet them, and we were all standing within, you know, 10 feet of them or so, and getting pictures like crazy. It was really fun.
It's really great to learn about what you're doing and how many shows you're doing. You guys have a really busy schedule. Tell us about it.
Well, yes, you know, we try to play throughout the year three or four different concert series, and every time we do a series, we play usually three concerts on a weekend, like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type thing, which is
right.
What's coming up here this next weekend.
And that's happening on October 7th at the Sutton Hall at Hamline University on October 7th. October 8th, it's at Zion Lutheran Church in Anoka. Also, Sunday, October 9th at Matamidi High School in Matamidi, Minnesota. And, of course,
right.
You have the times for two of them. Have you guys decided on the time for the October 7th concert at Hamline?
Yeah, that's it. They're at 7:30. Friday
okay.
and Saturday nights are at 7:30. And then the Sunday concert is at 4 in Matamidi.
And tell me a little bit about your holiday concerts coming up in December.
Oh, we love our holiday concerts. We do
three different venues, and it's just so festive. It's so wonderful. Of course, brass and percussion, nothing could be better than the holidays with that. And it's just a really festive evening.
Well, I listened to about 11 of your pieces of songs that you had on your website, and I really enjoyed some of them. Really, really enjoyed them. When can we expect you to come someplace close by in the Twin Cities so that we can get a little taste of it? I know you're going to be out in Edina for the holiday concerts, but I'm just curious to know, what's the closest to us here in the Twin Cities?
Well, that probably is about the closest for that concert. The Friday night is in Edina. The Sunday is in Coon Rapids at Anoka Ramsey Community College. And then the Saturday concert is out in Albany. So that's as close as we're going to get to you for that concert.
Well, I tell you, you guys are doing great things. What is the thing that you haven't done that you hope you will do before you leave this world?
Oh my goodness. There are so many things, I suppose.
In what city, you know?
Well, you know, maybe the ultimate for me personally would be to perform a concert with the brass band at Orchestra Hall. I think that would be really fun.
Oh, of course it would. Absolutely, yeah, it would be fun. Well, congratulations. Yeah. You've been a conductor now for how many years with this group?
Oh, I think it's been 20 years for me now with this group.
Oh, my goodness.
We're celebrating our 30th season, and I think I've been with them for 20 of those. So
that's amazing. Congratulations to you on that. That's a big deal.
You.
It's like you ought to have an award or a reward or something for that. Mike Halsenston, thank you so much for joining us. He's with the Lake Wobegon Brass Band's conductor for 20 years. Amazing. I'm still smiling from the music I heard from you guys, so keep doing it until you can't.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and we hope that people will come and hear us.
It's a pleasure. You take care. If people want more information, what is your website again?
It's LWBB, the Lake Wobegon Brass Band, LWBB.org.
All right, that's easy enough. Thank you so much, Mike, and you take care of yourself.
Thanks, Sherilyn.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, those are all of the guests that we have that we've been talking about tonight on Center Stage, and I've had a good time talking to them. I hope you've had a good time learning about them. Again, I want to mention that I will have a show at Crooner's in the main room. I believe the show begins at 8:30 p.m. on October 22nd. It's called The Pianist Knows Best, where the piano player has a chance to boss me, tell me what I'm going to sing, what keys I'm going to sing it in, and they are in complete control. And it usually is the opposite, where the singer tells the piano player what to play, but not this time. I did three of these in 2019, and I do hope you'll come out. If you're interested, come out and look up croonersmn.com. croonersmn.com. Just scroll down to October 22nd, and you'll see me there. Hopefully, you'll be in the audience. I can't wait to see you. It's been a pleasure doing these 3 hours, and now coming up is usually the Mom and Michael hour, but Michael is not able to come tonight, and so Jonathan and I will have a good time, and we hope you'll stick and stay with us. We'll be back.